Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Our guest speaker today is Brother Joshua Herrera. We want to truly thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join him now as he begins his message.
Study today, if you open up your Bible, it's going to be in the study of 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We're gonna begin there. I'm gonna throw out a couple verses today, but not enough to confuse you, because I don't like to be one of those brothers up here throwing a bunch of verses. And sometimes, where are we at? I'm pretty practical when it comes to the word. What was that, sister? 2 Corinthians 5:7. Chapter 5, verse 7. And I'm going to read off the NLT version. I know you guys have different versions in your Bible right now. But I want to say, for we live by believing and not by seeing. We are spiritual beings. We don't go by sight. We have a special power which is in us. The Holy Spirit is our eyes, not the flesh, what we see. So today, I want to encourage you to understand what is faith. Where's your faith at this part of your life in your Christian walk? There are two types of faith in this world. I want to break it down for you today. We have the secular and we have the spiritual faith. What a wonderful thing to have, to say, I have faith, right? Do we really know what it means? Is it tangible or is it something real? Most people will say it's intangible, and it applies primarily just to religion. But ask a lawyer what faith is, and he will tell you that good faith is a term in a contractual agreement where each party has confidence in other to hold up their end of the bargain. So you see, faith in and on itself, it's not just a religious biblical word. It's a generic universal term that applies to all religions that people use it, all people, the law, and all walks of life. But let's start first with the generic secular faith. When asked to define faith, most worldly people will be inclined to cite the dictionary definition of faith. The dictionary defines faith as this. There's three that I put down right here. One, having trust and confidence in someone or something to perform as it should. Second, a religious belief that is not based on proof. I'm going to come back to that. The world thinks that. A religious belief that is not based on proof. And third, a belief in God or in the doctrines or teachings of religion. So it's stated plainly, the worldly definition of faith is a belief based on trust. So, for example, I play piano here at church, and sometimes I know Alex comes over here in front and he sets everything for me, and I notice one chair is kind of crippled and out of place. I have to kind of fix it up sometimes. So this is what happens. For example, if you have enough faith in your chair to feel reasonably safe enough to sit on it, You had faith in its structural integrity to support you. If it only had three legs or looked like it was about ready to fall apart, you probably would not have enough faith in that chair to sit on it without actually risking injury to yourself or others around you. Does it make sense? Okay. So, moving on forward. Religious faith. This is what it is. The world knows of two kinds of religious faith. One is biblical, accurate, and the other is perversion of the truth. It's perversion of the truth. One is real, and the other is a counterfeit, straight, I'm just saying, call it for what it is, from the devil. Most people do this. They mix them together so much that they don't even know or don't even see the distinction between the both now. And church will probably say, bro, you got to put faith in it. Sister, you got to put faith in it. What does that mean? Tell me. I hear it all the time. You got to put faith in it, brother. You just got to believe. What is this, a seminar or something? 10 steps on how to be a better person? 10 steps on how to do this the right way? And we motivate ourselves. I have no problem motivating people. There's no problem in that. But when it comes to faith in Christ, it's a whole different term. So, religious faith, we know, number one, having trust and confidence in God, knowing that he will perform as he says he will, based on proof from your own personal experience and from recorded examples in Scripture. That's the faith we know. You came into a part in your life where you were probably in the gutter. You were probably in a situation you couldn't get out of. What took you, or what did it take to get you out that place? Now, let's go how about the religious faith from the world. Step number two right here. Like I said before, the dictionary definition, a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. Religion example of evil faith, number three. I'm sure you've all heard of the regarding religion. I said this right now. Have you ever been confused about somebody in the Bible and looking for an answer when you ask someone, like a pastor or church elder, about your question? You heard the phrase, you just have to take it in on faith, brother. You just have to take it in on faith. Don't worry about it. Does that really answer your question? It never really does. It can be frustrating, and does not empower you enough to actually go in, actually search for yourself for God. It just kind of leaves you stagnant. There's no movement. Let me get a little more practical with you. Your boss. Have you ever had a boss tell you, or when he asks, when he says this, just trust me on this. Just trust me. I know what I'm doing. And you go, uh-huh, yes, yes. It's fine, whatever you say, boss, no problem. But still did not understand what he was saying. And again, that brings some frustration in your life. So I have heard all my life, and probably you've probably heard some people explain to you what faith really is along the way. There has been times in my life, maybe in your life too, where you have heard some say you just have to try harder and continue believing that everything is possible. That's what they tell you. The Bible never said to incline yourself to your own understanding. It's what got you in trouble in the first place. You cannot do it on your own. You can't. I stopped to think, and I said this a little while ago too. Am I in another empowerment speaking event where they're telling you that you can do it if you just believe in and you have faith in it? The church has been infiltrated with this secularism that has consumed the church with self-sufficient books and how to do everything in 10 steps to becoming the better you, or better yet, the better Christian. If it does not lead you to Christ, it's not from God. That's simple. It all points back, again, to me believing in me and doing everything to my own strength. That's what the devil wants. He wants to enable your life. He wants to distract you from what you're doing in your daily walk with him. So he's going to throw certain people along your way and then going to boost you up. There's people that have zeal. There's zeal in the Bible. There's the good zeal and there's the bad zeal. The good zeal is going to empower you in Jesus Christ. The bad zeal is going to be like, you can do it, brother. I know you can. I believed in you. Like I said, there's no problem in encouraging somebody. But that faith has to always come back into Jesus Christ. You channel that back into him. God called us, open up your Bible here now, to Galatians 2:20. God called us to die to ourselves. It says it like this: I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Let me go back to this part right here. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So everything always has to come back into the Son of Man. Not us. Not me. Not Josh. I don't know any better. It kind of sounds like if I'm saying I'm dumb, right? That I have no intellect. And most people will tell you that, no, you have to believe in yourself, brother. You got to have faith. And I always tell people, you know what? No, it doesn't work that way. When I surrendered my life to Christ, when I gave myself and everything as an individual, I gave everything to him. I don't no longer live anymore. Because if he lives in me, then every step and everything that I do belongs to him, right? So, here's another verse. We said a little while ago as my key verse. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In verse 6, in all your ways to submit to him and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. How many of you have found yourself in a predicament, in a situation where you find yourself doing it by yourself again and again and again and again? We kind of think that we have the solution, right? We think we know better. Josh knows himself better. I've heard this word and this phrase sometimes, and I probably heard your friends say it too. I got to give myself some me time right now. I need to find myself. I need to know where I'm going in life, brother. I'm like, what do you mean? You don't know Christ? Come on. That makes no sense. If you're in Christ, you should know who you are already. You can't go around telling people, I got to go find myself. I just don't know where I'm at. No, it doesn't work that way. When you come to Christ, your identity is now him. Let me say that again. Your identity is now him. It's not you anymore. It's not that you're dumb. It's not that you have intellect. The reason why we need Jesus Christ is because we couldn't do it in the beginning. Going back to Adam and Eve, they couldn't do it. So what he had to do? He had to send his only son to come and save us because he knew that we needed to be rescued. He knew that we couldn't do it on ourselves. I'm going to get a little Bible scholarly on you. I know probably you guys came here to learn some school today. The word faith in Greek and Hebrew means trust. Faith, equal it to trust. Everybody say, pistis. Pistis, that's what it means. Faith, pistis, is always a gift from God and never something that can be produced by people. You cannot produce faith. It only comes from God. In short, pistis, faith for the believer, is God's divine persuasion and therefore distinct from human belief, which is confidence, you, yet involving it. I'll get to a point. I'll get you guys there. The Lord continually births faith in the yielded believer so they can know what he prefers. For example, the persuasion of his will, not your will. You guys get me there? me say that one more time. When we repeat it, things kind of fall in. Again, the Lord continually births faith in the yielded believer. Us, we're the yielded believers. So we're like, okay. So they can know what he prefers. Not what Josh prefers or what you prefer, Sister Vodka. Nuh-uh. It's what he prefers, which is what? Again, his will for your life. In secular antiquity, referred to a guarantee warranty. That's what it is. In scripture, faith is God's warranty on your life. It's a guarantee. So when you buy something, you know how we get a sofa or we get a new lamp or something? What do you get? You get what? A warranty for it. Either you get a 30-day warranty or you can get a year warranty. That's the world offers you that. But God offers you something way better. He actually gives you full warranty on it. It's a lifetime. So it has not come to pass where something's been broken, but you know when that time comes, it's going to be fixed. So you know you have to trust in the confidence that God's going to lead the way. So that's why he puts a stamp on it and says, I got your back. I got you covered. So don't worry about it. Just believe in me. Have faith in me. That's the true faith that God wants from you. So, continuing on with this. In scriptures, faith is God's warranty, certifying that the revelation he birthed will come to pass. Again, his way, not your way. Faith pieces is also used collectively of all the times God has revealed, giving the persuasion of his will, which includes the full revelation of scripture. That's in Jude 3. Indeed, God the Lord guarantees that all of his revelation will come to pass. Everything comes to pass through God. My pastor, I love the way he puts it sometimes. He will say, probably you have some, maybe not unheard prayers, but maybe some prayers that have not been answered in your life. But it doesn't mean it hasn't come to pass yet. They will come. But you have to have faith and wait until that very moment when it does come. Just because you don't see it in a month or in a year or in 3 years doesn't mean it's not going to come to pass. God will deliver. God will meet you at the end. You just have to firm. You have to hold firm. I love what Paul said, that he hold on to the truth. He fought the good fight. He did the race. And at the end, there was a reward. And that reward is knowing that he had the true salvation of Christ in his life. Now, I would like to kind of maybe paraphrase that or maybe kind of include in right there. In your personal walk with God, in your own personal race, whatever you're going through right now in the situation, in the predicaments of life, God's going to pull you through just the same way he did it with Paul. We all have a race. We all have a race. I was talking right now before coming in with the sister that we're all unique. We're all different. God has a different purpose for you. God has a different way, a different will. You just got to hold on to it. And I'm not going to tell you here that you got to go looking for it. I'm not even talk about that. I've heard preachers, brother, you got to pray more. You got to go search for it. You got to do this and you got to do that so God can respond to you. And no, it does not work that way. Again, is it your will or is it God's will in your life? Because in due time, God will answer your prayers. But you have to hold steadfast to what he has for you. You might grow weary. You might grow weak at times. It's going to happen. It's not all beautiful sometimes. It's going to get ugly sometimes in your life. But I thank God that Christ is going to be there along the way. Because he has a full stamp and the full guarantee that when I come to that very end, he's going to be there waiting for me. That's the promise of God in your life. You have to believe in him. You got to have faith. But only the brave. Are you that brave person today? You don't have to answer me. It's a rhetorical question. Are you that brave person today? So, let's move on. faith is always received from God and never generated by us. It's not generated by us. Romans 12:3. It says this, Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself, you, than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has assigned to each a measure of faith, of pisteis. Let me read that one more time. Romans 12:3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself. Why would God tell you not to think highly of yourself? That's kind of messed up if I was to say, God, what do you mean? I can't think highly of myself? I have these people telling me that I got to believe in me and I got to do this and I got to do that. No, there's a reason why, God, because sometimes we're just full of it sometimes. And God has to put you in your place. And he's got to check you sometimes, because sometimes we tend to think that we have the reasoning when we don't. God's perfecting us every single day. There's a renewing of the what? Of the mind. The renewing. He's trying to perfect whatever is going on in your mind. I don't always have it together. And I thank God that I don't have it always together, because I have to leave room for him to work in me. Because if I always had it together, God will have no place in my life. God needs to work in your life. And I thank God that I need him every day, because his grace, his love is with me. And I cannot move forward without him. I can't. There's just no way, sister. I can't. There's no way. So when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are having faith that God will deliver in its appointed time. Going back to that again. God will deliver. There's a stamp on that. There's a guarantee. Then the verse continues and says, lean not again. I'm going to say it again. Lean not on your own understanding. Why does God say don't lean on your own understanding? Why? It's another rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it. I love John Piper. Who listens to John Piper? He's a great theologian, great Bible study preacher, slash everything. He puts it this way. Our own understanding simply will not bear the full weight of reality. It was never intended to. You guys get that? It's a very deep statement. Let me read that one more time. Our own understanding simply will not bear the full weight of reality. God gave us certain abilities, certain strengths to understand things. Some things are from the heavens, which are going to stay there. One day they're going to be revealed to us hopefully we all go to heaven. I hope we do. I hope we all do. It was never intended to, the full reality of things. Why? Because God wants to continue work with you. He needs to be the first thing you do in the morning, the first thing when you wake up, the first thing you do when you get on your knees and you pray for him to reveal to you, to develop you, to encourage you. It takes more than just a prayer. It's a daily thing. It's a walk. And I was telling the sister too, so what does it mean to live in the Spirit? That's one definition that it took me a while to understand, because most people got it kind of twisted. They will say, well, brother, I go to church. I pray a lot. I have fastings. I serve in the altar. I fix the pastor's stuff sometimes, and I move his notes sometimes, and I'm in the mixing board and moving the sound. Those are all things. That's part of it. That's not everything. That's part of the things that you do when you're serving God. What it means to walk in the Spirit, or in the spirit realm that we live in, is that it's not walking in your own senses and your flesh. We have what? How many senses do we have? We have five. There's this. If you think, yeah, in the flesh. But if we go spiritually, we have six, because the Spirit, because we don't see things in the in the flesh. We have to see things in the spiritual realm. So that's where the sixth one will come in, sister, if you want to say that. I don't want to start seeing some ghosts in here and get into the movie. But if you think about it, it's put that way. You know, we walk in the spirit. When a situation in your life comes to you, the best way to see and the best way to put it is that not every situation that you go through is not going to be under your control sometimes. That's when you activate the Holy Spirit. That's when you start walking in the Spirit. That's when you start praying and you don't let the situation or the circumstance bother you because you know where you came from before and you know that God put you through. He moved us from one place into another place. Why did he do that? Well, it's very simple, because he loves us. He loves you. He loves me. And there's no other way better to put it. So, moving on. The point of this prohibition, again, the understanding, the point of this prohibition was not to keep humans ignorant, but to preserve for us the pleasure of the world. It was as if God was saying, if you eat of that one tree, you would be saying to me, I am smarter than you. I am more authority than you. I am wiser than you are. I think I can care for myself better than you care for me, God. You are not a very good father, and so I am going to reject you. So don't eat from the tree, because you will be rejecting me and all of my good gifts and all my wisdom and all my care. This is God saying this. Let me get back to the point, what I'm trying to get to right now. So the verse tells us, lean not on your own understanding. That was a question. Why does God say, do not lean? Well, this is what it's telling you right now. This is what it's saying. So don't eat from that tree, because you will be rejecting me and all my good gifts and all my wisdom and all my care. Instead, keep on submitting to my will. Keep on affirming my wisdom. Keep on being thankful for my generosity, what I do for you. Keep on trusting me as a father and keep on eating from the other trees as a way of enjoying me. So many of the things that causes the most difficulty and heartaches in life is this. The source of so much is our anxiety, fear, doubt, and anger with others and with God is a result of leaning, again, on our own understanding. There's a reason why God says this, because he knows that we can't do. We cannot fathom the idea. There's so much that we can take. His yoke is easy. All your cares, cast them out to him. All around the Bible, God continues saying this. I am here for you. Why do you continue doing things on your own? So God does not want us to be miserable. He does not want that for us. Even in this fallen, futile, infected, evil age that we live in right now, he wants to relieve our anxiety. If you guys want to write these verses down, you can just look, and I'm not going to go over because there's so many. But anxiety, I connected it to Luke 12, 11. You can find the information there. You can read the verse. Luke 12, 11 to the 12th verse. And you can find it again in Philippians 4, 6, 7. Write those down. Philippians 4, 6, 7. If you want to know about the fear, look into Psalms 118, 6. Psalms 118, 6. If you want to know about doubt, look into Matthew 21, 21. And sinful anger, Ephesians 4, 31. Again, sinful anger, Ephesians 4, 31. And so he gives us Proverbs, our scripture, our key scripture, 3:5-6, as a priceless gift. In exercising faith, trusting fully in the Lord and not leaning on our own understanding. We're not setting aside our intellect. It's not that. We're resting our intellect upon the intellect of God. Nothing is wiser or sane. Let me read that one more time to you guys. We're exercising faith, trusting fully in the Lord and not leaning on our own understanding. We're not setting aside our intellect. We're resting. I love this. We're resting our intellect upon the intellect of God. Nothing is wiser or sane. Sometimes we're going to need a rescue from God. Sometimes we're going to need a moment where you thought you had it together. You thought you were sane. You thought you were wise. But it's not that you're dumb. It's not that you don't know any better. Again, I repeat that. I love the way God repeats himself many times. And you're going to find me repeating a lot of words because repeating is what brings more understanding. Repeating words that God has for us, the promises of God. Because sometimes as Christians, as individuals, we forget what God has done in our lives. We forget. And sometimes when we crack open our Bible, which is I don't know when. I am more of a listener. I like to open up my Bible app and put the play button and listen to it. Some like to read. But for me, the Word of God can come in many shapes and many forms of how you want to listen to it. So when we're resting our intellect upon Him, I'm telling God, you have control, Father, of my mind. You have control of the renewing of my mind. It's not me anymore. It's Christ living in me. So when I walk outside of the doors and I see myself and I see people outside and I can see everything that's happening with them, I tell God, what is different from them and what's different from me? Well, son, you have sight, spiritual sight. They have not seen me yet. They need to know who I am. You have the privilege to see who I really am and what I've done in your life. Now, this word is not intended just for us. It was intended for everybody. Everybody's in a whole different step. Everybody's in a whole different walk in their life right now. They see differently from us. But their vision is not a 20/20 right now. God is the one who gives you the perfection. God is who gives you the perfect 20/20 in your life. Where do you have your eyes set upon right now? Are they in the Lord or are they in yourself? We got to change the way we think. We got to let God start renewing the things that we used to do before or how we grew up in church or the ideas that we had sometimes. You need to crack open your book to know what God has for you. You need to understand what He has for you individually, not what I'm saying right now. I can tell you a bunch of words up here, and you might be nodding your head, yes, brother, yes, amen, what you're saying, brother, yes, amen. But when you come home, go back into this. If you have to rebuke me, if you have to say something to me that I probably said off the way, men of God mess up, people mess up. Your eyes should not be on the man up here. Your eyes are supposed to be on God. That's where the truth comes from. We are vessels. Everybody in this place can be used by God. We are our vessels in this place. But the best way for you to move in God is to completely submitting everything you are. A machine cannot work by itself. It needs to be moved by something, right? There's going to be issues with the machine. But the best way to get it fixed is through God. So I'm going to ask everybody just to close your eyes. I'd like to pray and ask God to do a movement right now in this place. If your faith has been shortcoming, has it been faulty at times, your faith has been in the deepest places in the wells where you feel like you can't get out of a situation, then just start praying right now. Start lifting up your hands and start praying to God that He makes a way for you, that He starts renewing your mind, that He starts changing old habits. He starts changing in you the things that you despise the most, that you've been having issues with, struggles with. We all have different things that God wants to remove. But in order for those things to be removed, you need to submit them to Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you right now, God. We're asking for deliverance in this place right now. Boy, we're asking, God, for a movement, Father, in our lives. I know I need a movement in my life every single day, Father, not because I'm a weak man or because I'm a strong man, but because I need you, Father. And I pray that every person in this place can understand that they need you, God, that they need a movement in their life. They want to be touched, Father. Whatever their prayer is this night, let it be a changing one, Father. Let them go out these doors, Father, renewed, Father. I don't want them to come into a place just hearing a word or another beautiful word or sermon or another great song, Father, but that they come out differently, Father. That the word brings conviction, Father, to their hearts, God. That they may be able to go out and be that vessel, Father. They've been praying maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody in this place right now has been praying to be a vessel right now. And if this word's for you, God wants to use you right now. God wants to touch your life. God wants to renew your mind right now. You've been praying probably, oh, thank you, Spirit. I'm praying right now to somebody right now. Someone's been praying in this place to be used in a specific place right now. I don't know what it is, but in a specific place, you've been praying to God use you. And God wants to route now in this place right now that you go out of these doors and you do what you have to do. You do what you have to do. God is calling you right now. Take hold of that right now. In Jesus' name, take hold of that. God wants to take you into that place. Thank you, Jesus. We pray, Father. We love you, Father. May we go out of this place, Father, renewed, Father, with a different kind of faith, Father, not from this world, but the faith that we have in Jesus Christ, Father. And like our pastor says, Father, it's true. And the word says it's so. It's not the prayer, Father, that's going to save us, God. It's the faith that we have in you, Father. Your son, Jesus Christ, is what's going to save us, God. So thank you, Father. We worship you, Father. We love on you, Father. That we may go out of this place tonight, God, renewed, Father. And I pray that this word today, they may take it in their hearts, Father, and practice it, Father, and live it, Father, in the Spirit. So we praise your name, Father, in the house says, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
If you're listening right now on the internet, and maybe you just were surfing the net, you came across Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and you're hearing this message right now, and you may not even know who Jesus is, I'm going to ask you right now to pray with me that God will show himself mighty to you. He will come and visit you right now by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I do believe that you died for me. I believe, God, that the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. And on the third day, you rose again to give me life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, forgive me now, God, of all my sins. Come into my heart and make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I'll do my best to serve you, Lord, all the days of my life, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer by faith, God, through the authority of his word, has saved you. I pray that you would find a Bible-believing church and that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of our sermons, all of our notes, all of our PowerPoints are free at charge. Just download them from your computer and be blessed. for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.